Hey everyone, welcome to Story Nerds. I am Hannah Davis.
And I'm Jessica Kay. And today we have a very special episode. Guys, this is our handover episode because Story Nerds is going to live on. We announced a little while ago that Hannah and I are retiring as hosts, but we are so very glad that we have found the right people who are going to carry the podcast on into the next phase of its life. So this is our handover episode to talk about favorite books of 2020, to meet the new team, to talk about how it's going to look in the future, and to get excited about the new life the podcast is going to have. And Hannah and I gives us a chance to say thank you so much for listening for all this time, and We will see you again. Hopefully we'll be able to pop back as guests in the future. This won't be the end, but we'll just be stepping back from those regular duties and letting these guys take the podcast forward into new and awesome territory. So let's say a big welcome to the Inspi Romance blog ladies who are taking the podcast on. It's going to have a slightly new name and lots of exciting things. So we have here with us today Elizabeth Madry, Valerie Comer, and Narelle Atkins. And Elizabeth, do you want to tell us who you guys are, what you're about, and what exciting things are going to happen with the podcast in the future?
Sure. All right. So inspiromance.com is a blog that has been around for 6 years, Valerie?
Almost seven.
Ooh. Almost 7 years. We vacillate in number a little bit between 24 and 30 contemporary Christian romance authors. Indie and trad combined, depends on who's there right now. Right now we're 26 of us. And so we have a blog post every day of the week by a different author. It's a rotating schedule. And so there's a lot of fun opportunities to learn about new books, talk about your favorite tropes, book recommendations, all kinds of fun things over on the blog. And that's where we've been primarily for this last 7 years, and we've started branching out. Narelle does all our social media, so now we're on Instagram, and that's what we are, that's what we do, and this is just a fun new way to interact with readers. That's our big focus on the blog, is readers. It's not, you're not going to get writing tips or plot discussions necessarily, none of that. We're not for writers. I mean, writers are welcome, but put your reader hat on, because that's why we're there, is we want to talk books. That's what we want. So this is a natural, feels like, offshoot for the podcast. And we will, because we're all romance all the time on the blog. We're going to be all romance all the time on the podcast too, because that's what we love. Yeah. We love contemporary romance, and that is just what we want to talk about all the time. So that's what we're going to be doing.
So quick, tell us, what is the new name that our listeners can expect?
So it's Story Chats at Inspi Romance. So
there
just
it
a
is.
little tweak, but you'll see the glasses. We still got the purple. We still got the glasses, so we're
love all things story.
Yeah.
All things story.
All things story. Absolutely.
But yeah, the chat is going to be super fun. I'm really excited to see what you guys do and get into it too. I'm excited just to listen to you guys. So I am so excited to turn this over. Can you tell us really quick, what are two things? There's my hands one too. Two things that you're most excited about, and each of you ladies, can you just tell me, you know, what are your top one or two things just about taking this over?
So for me, I think one, it might be wrong, but I'm actually looking forward to being able to hang out with Narelle and Valerie on Zoom and just be goofy, because they're very fun, and our Facebook Messenger is always hilarious and full, because we're the primary admin team for the blog, and so we have this huge Facebook Messenger. Sometimes I wake up and I'm like, oh, Narelle was busy last night.
I feel like Jess and I are the same way. Like, we've had so much fun together, so selfishly it's so much fun to get together with the other ladies.
So I'm looking forward to that. And then I'm also looking forward to getting a chance to interact more one-on-one with the ladies who blog at Inspi Romance as they, because we'll be having them on. I mean, we have a little built-in pool of guests already right there. So I think it'll be fun to get to know them one-on-one a little bit more outside of the blog.
Awesome.
Those are my two.
And what about you, Valerie?
I think it's going to be fun to do this on YouTube as well as on podcasts. I'm really looking forward to that. I've been dabbling with Facebook Live for the last couple months.
Exciting development, you guys. This is going to be awesome.
It just seems like a lot of podcasts are doing that these days, that they're going, well, here's the podcast, or you can watch it on YouTube. And it just seems like a really great opportunity to bump over to there and see if we can collect some viewers as well as listeners. And I just have to kind of go with what Beth said there too. I mean, we have so much fun in our admin chat all the time that it will be really a pleasure to get together regularly on Zoom. And I think it'll be fun. Yeah.
Absolutely.
That really is one of the biggest benefits of podcasting, is the friendships that we've gotten to develop. It's been so awesome. And Narelle, I'm so excited that there will be continued Australian representation.
Yay.
That is awesome.
Yes, well, if you're hoping to lose the Aussie accent, it's not going anywhere. I'll be here talking.
I don't know why anyone would ever want to not hear an Aussie accent. Sorry.
Although my accent's slightly different to Jess.
Accent.
Yes.
Well, I love Jess for more than just her accent, but it's a good part of
it. But it doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Well, I think, yeah, it's going to be really good because you've got Elizabeth's in the States and Valerie's in Canada and I'm in Australia. So we kind of cover the whole world, which is really nice, like you guys did. And for the same reasons as Elizabeth and Valerie have already said, it's just a great chance for us to chat and to get to know some of the authors in our blogging group that we may not have a lot of time to sort of chat with because everyone's so busy. And just to reach our readers and give our readers a chance to see us and hear us and interact with us. We're used to the daily blog posts going out, but this time they can actually hear us on a podcast or watch us on YouTube. And it's just a different way for us to interact and get to know our readers, and they get to know a bit about us as well.
Absolutely. That's awesome.
It will also be fun to have some guests that aren't Inspi Romance bloggers as well. We'll definitely be pulling in others as well. We're not planning on just, you know, curling inward completely, but there will be lots of opportunities for our bloggers as well as bringing in others.
That's so exciting.
And there will be lots and lots of opportunities because aren't you guys going weekly?
Yes, that's the plan. That is the plan. Half an hour weekly.
That is exciting. Twice as much podcasting, folks.
Yes. So for today's episode, we've kind of wanted to do something as a wrap up of Story Nerds, but also introducing you guys to Story Chats. So we've kind of had our program this week will include parts of what Jess and I love to do, which is nerd out over books, talking about what we love. So like Jess mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about our favorite books of 2020. So we're going to have to try to go faster than what we usually do, which is going to be impossible, I know. But that's what we're going to attempt to do. And then these wonderful ladies are going to start bringing in some of their things that they've brought to the table. And I'll let them explain that when we get to that point. But let's just jump right in really quick. Give the story nerds one last time to hear all about our favorite books of 2020. So Jess, kick us off.
This is one, like I've heard some people say when we've talked about favorite books of 2020, people go, oh, how can you choose? I'm sorry, I have a clear head and shoulders winner above the rest. This book I love. It's going down as like second favorite. Everybody knows The Hating Game is my favorite of all time. This is number two, folks. You Deserve Each Other by Sarah Hoegle. Very on brand for me. You can tell straight off the bat this is love, hate, romantic comedy. But this one has such a fascinating twist because this is about an engaged couple. These two are already together, but their relationship is not going well. And And basically, they've been driving each other nuts, and our heroine realizes that her fiance, he has a very overbearing family, particularly his mother, and they're planning this big wedding that she's lost all control of, and the mother's controlling it all. And she realizes that he's such a golden boy. If he calls off the wedding, he'll be the bad guy. But if he makes her so miserable that she calls off the wedding, she's the scapegoat. He gets to continue his golden boy status. And when this knowledge clicks in her mind, she launches an all-out warfare to try and make him so miserable that he will have to be the one to call off the engagement, and she will get to claim the apartment and all different things. And so begins a very fun journey of them torturing each other. But what she doesn't realize is actually it wasn't, not to spoil too much, but you learn this pretty quickly, that wasn't really his intention. And he soon kind of realizes that she's kind of cracked and given up on them, and he decides he needs to take drastic action because he actually wants to save the relationship. And So this book has it's not, we're going into inspi romance territory. This one, disclaimer, not inspi. Not. There is adult content, but use your discernment. I love it. It's so much fun. It has some great messages about communication in relationships and how even people who can be great together, if they get slack in different areas of communication and their relationship and appreciate each other, then things can turn bad very quickly. And so there's some great things in there about them learning how to operate as a couple, but it's also just hilarious, like them torturing each other. And I love the author's description. Like, she is, I'm going to bring up a little sentence here in the book because she just cracks me up the way she's describing things. The whole book is from our heroine's point of view. And here at the start of chapter 5, she's describing, they have these torturous Sunday lunches with his family. And this is the first one that she's going to where she's allowing herself to not try and please the family, but instead this time she's going to purposely aggravate the heck out of them. And so it opens with, their lair smells like a post-apocalyptic Bath and Body Works that has been stagnating in dust for 10 years with base notes of Aquanet. Just with description like that, how can you not just laugh your way through the entire book? It's amazing, and I love it. 5 stars, 10 stars, all the stars go to You Deserve Each Other by Sarah Hogle.
Yes. Oh, that sounds so good.
So who are we going next? I want to hear from Narelle. Oh, no, she was going last because she has to decide which one still she wants to pick. Mallory, we have a long history also of people saying, pick me last because I'm still deciding. They have like a stack of books next to their computer and they need like the pressure of the last minute to go, all right, this one.
Yeah, one of the authors that I find is a good go-to for me that I don't think she's ever let me down is Melanie D. Snitker. And so basically what I really had to do now, I'm like, best book I've read in 2020, which ones of Melanie's have I read this year? And so I finished this one recently. It's called Don't Kiss Me Goodbye. And I don't know how clearly
that.
I can see that.
But it reminded me a little bit of what you're saying there. A couple that are together at the beginning, that they just, but they're not communicating at all. So this is what Beth calls not a romance, because they're married, but they're separated for a month. They've been married for like 6 months and now they're separated, and they're just from such different places. And he's got this big, strong family, and her mother is always cutting down her and her husband. And they've just like, he's like, well, we just need to take a break. But she sees that as the divorce papers are coming any minute. And then it kicks off with the fact that they had agreed to go together on a cruise for his grandparents' 60th anniversary. And his family doesn't know they're separated. And she's never been on a cruise, and she was really looking forward to this cruise. So can they survive this 4 days? This whole story takes place in 4 days, five, I guess, because it starts right before, and how can they survive it, and how can they like figure out what the other person really is saying inside. Melanie pulls these off well. I think one that I read last year that I really liked is called I Still Do. And they were divorced, and then it's a reunion romance. But I don't know. I think that's a hard one to pull off, but she does a really good job.
So. I love that our so top. I love that our first two books that we've talked about are sort of like, it's not the romance leading up to whatever it is. It's the romance after. I think that that's so forgotten sometimes, and I've read a few like that. But there's still some of my favorites I go back to because it reminds you that marriage is hard and relationships are hard, and there's so much more to what you're saying and thinking and how that goes together hand in hand with what a relationship really is.
Some of those really slide quickly into women's fiction instead of romance.
They can. Yeah, they can. But no, I feel like I've read some romances like that. Yeah.
Yeah, if it's all her issues or all his issues and that. But yeah, this one really does tick the romance boxes as well. Mm-hmm.
So. Beautiful. Hannah, tell us about yours.
Ah, I know me already. Shoot. Okay. Technically, I have to say I have two, but you'll understand why. Second, okay.
We have another long history of jamming extra ones in.
It's not like we've done this a million times before. Jess, I want you to turn around really quick and display that yellow thing behind you. Dun, da, da, da. This is A Girl's Guide to the Outback by our one and only Jess, which debuted in January. And this is the reason why I got to pick two, because I know we've talked about this before, and it is probably very biased of me to say this, but it is so good. I loved, there were so many moments that just hit my funny bone first and hit my like right deep in the heart other moments. And I think that that's to me what makes a really good book is I really want to laugh and I really want to cry. And she did both of those so well. And I know she's probably like, Hannah, stop talking about me, but I don't care because I'm going to talk about her anyway. Favorite moments in that book include something, do I want to give it away? No, not really. It involves coloring things called chooks. And if you're not Australian, you don't really know what a chook is until you get to that chapter. And if you are Australian or don't know or just want to look it up, you can look it up. But it made me howl in laughter. It was one, I still remember that moment in the book so clearly. It's one of my favorite moments. Another thing that I just really loved, her characters are so deep. Like they have such wounds, but such caring love for each other. And I was so impressed with how she wrote her main characters to really like feed off of each other and encourage each other in different ways. And that was something that it's so real, I think, in a lot of relationships. And I think it's also important in a lot of relationships too. So, and of course, as usual, the big thing for me with Christian fiction is every time I want to read a book in Christian fiction, I want to feel like I'm learning something about God and God's love. And I feel like that was accomplished through this book, and it was just so well done. So, okay, I've spent my few minutes talking about Jess. I can be done now. It really was one of my favorite reads of this year. The other one I will bring up, just because if Jess doesn't count, which I'm counting it, but if Jess doesn't count, then I have to bring up this romantic suspense. I'm going to say romantic suspense because I'm trying to emphasize the romance in this book. This is The Crushing Depth by Dani Petrie. She's become a staple in the romantic suspense genre within the CBA over the last, it's been probably 10 years, 10, 15 now.
I love Dani. She's amazing.
She is such a phenomenal writer. I can't get over her stuff. Every time I read it, I just, the problem with this one is I bought it in a time where I was super busy and I had to put it away for a couple of weeks. And then finally I was like, I'm just going to read it on vacation. But then a couple weeks went by, I'm like, I can't wait. So I have had to like slowly sift through. And I'm actually away at my parents' this weekend. I had a family event I needed to be back here for a family emergency. And I gave my mom a book to read. And literally it's been let's see, within 12 hours of giving it to her, she has made it at least halfway through. So I'm a little bit mad that she, first of all, she's such a fast reader compared to me. Second of all, she just speeds right through it. But it is Danny's book follows some of her characters from her previous book. This is book number 2 in this series. And this one's about Rissy and Mason. And Rissy kind of has this really, and Mason both kind of have this really sad backstory growing up in the foster care system. And they each kind of have really deep wounds. I think that's what makes their relationship so unique. And I love the fact that she also included a relationship or another person who's interested in Rissy. And Rissy's not interested in him. And I was like, that's so real life. And I feel like that's so important to tell those stories too, because it's like, that's me sometimes. That's me a lot of times, actually. But I love the fact that he's included. I love the fact that he kind of has his own story, and I can't wait to see what his story will be. This one, to me, was more mystery than it was suspense. Like, I think there's a lot of suspenseful elements in it, but I feel like it was a lot more mystery. And I love a good mystery, too, so it was really good. The one thing I will say I didn't appreciate, which I can still say I liked, I didn't appreciate, is a moment with a particular kind of spider that I particularly don't like because they're deadly. They are black with red on them. And I have some negative experiences with those spiders. And so she included a moment with those and I'm like, ah, no, I'm out. I don't do well with spiders anyway. That was a little much for me, but that's just because I honestly have a very big phobia of spiders, particular that kind of spiders. I will say when I lived in California, we had some near our garage, and I used to get dressed up in what I called my makeshift hazmat suit. I would dress up in, like, every inch of me would be covered with the exception of, like, a little hole in my face. So I didn't get bit, but I was very terrified of it. But it's such a great read. Danny kills it, knocks it out of the park, 2020. So there we go. We're going to go to Elizabeth. Tell us for 2020.
See, I'm totally cheating too, because I don't just have two, I have like a whole series. So I'm gonna choose, this is book 1, which I don't know that I can get my light to, oh, there we go. Kimberly Ray Jordan's New Hope Falls series. So the first book is A Love So Real. And I could call A Love So Real my favorite because it kicks off the series, but the whole series has been amazing. She just released a Christmas, I think it was a full-length book, actually, that's like number 4.5 in the series. But it's her, she has this perfect small town. And that's one of the things that I loved about it, is the creation of the town that she has, New Hope Falls, is perfect. It's got all the nasty people of the small town, like you'd expect. It's got all the grandma people of the small town that you'd expect. They've got a little cafe, Norma's Cafe, where they go and they meet up and they have good food. There's a lot of tourism is part of the town, so you get people coming in and out. And there's this underlying mystery as well that's kind of fun. It's not romantic suspense, but the hero of this first book is suspected of having murdered his high school girlfriend, even though there's no evidence of it whatsoever. And he insists that he's not, and he's a good guy. So I know, you know, we know for sure he didn't, she probably ran off, but there are enough people in the town who are suspicious of him that they keep reopening the case, and it gets media coverage, and it kind of is trying to ruin his life. So, you know, it's just a little thread in each book where, you know, this has come up again, or it's still on the scene from the last time it came up. So it's kind of fun. And now we're far enough along that we're starting to see weddings from the previous couples showing up in the new books. And that's fun. That's the other thing that I really love, is Kimberly does a fabulous job with tight-knit groups of friends. So it's not all siblings. But you have some siblings, but you also have groups of friends, and they expand to include the new people who come. She does a really good job with her town building and characters. So that's my go-to this year favorite.
That's awesome. All right, Narelle, It's time.
Crunch time.
Pressure. Well, I'll be honest. I'm one of those readers, and my favorite book is usually the last book I've read, because if I get past the first chapter and if I'm drawn into that story world that I don't want to leave, then that sort of hangs around in my mind. So the last book I have just read, which hasn't been released yet, don't know if you can see that.
Yes.
Is Restoring Fairhaven by Carolyn Miller. So this is really exciting because this is Carolyn's first contemporary Christian romance. So she's known for her Regency stories, and it's set on an island off the Carolinas in the US. And I haven't actually been to the east coast of the US. I think the furthest east I've got is Indianapolis. So it was pretty exciting to read that setting and just to see her lovely voice, author's voice that I really enjoy in her Regencies, shining through in her contemporary as well. And her fans of her Regency romances will enjoy it, particularly the hero, who's British, and he's very British in a lot of ways. So it's got a kind of Beauty and the Beast fairy tale. It draws on some of the elements of that, and it was just a really fun story to read, and I'm looking forward to reading more of her contemporary books. And the other book that I've enjoyed,
this one is
Organized Backup by Meredith Reske. So another Australian author. So it's all about Australia with me today. Mm-hmm. So Meredith's book, I really enjoy Meredith's books, and she's written in a few different genres, but she had a book, Falling for Maddie Grace, a couple of years ago that was about AFL. So if you're interested in AFL, go read that book. But this one is really interesting, and it actually touches on the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace, which is something that a lot of romances don't necessarily go near, or if they do touch on it, they don't necessarily touch on it well. And I think that's the history of romance with what happens in the office has a lot to do with that as well. So she takes a really serious issue and has a really hunky Aussie cop who basically ends up protecting the heroine. And there's a lot of funny moments that happen in this book because her mother's a meddler, Luella Linley, and she's a historical romance author that basically interferes in all her children's lives. And so we get to meet her, and she's trying to match make, and all sorts of things happen. And then there's the creepy boss at work that our heroine's trying to not get caught up with. So I really enjoyed that as well, as I said, because it actually sometimes romance can be light and fluffy, but this particular story, you can learn a lot from reading it as well. Mm-hmm. In that sense. So I've limited it to two. I think I've done very well.
That's pretty good for limiting it to two.
Do I get to go up to two?
It's our last episode. Let's just go for broke.
It's fine. I think I kind of already did by mentioning a second book of Melanie's.
That's awesome. And to quickly clarify for our non-Australian listeners too, AFL, Narelle, would you like to explain what AFL is to our...
Thank you.
AFL is it's one of our football codes. So you've got gridiron over in the States. We have AFL, which my father will very irreverently call aerial ping pong because he's from Sydney.
Yes.
And there's a Sydney-Melbourne divide. Yes, there's a Southerners.
I am not an AFL follower. NRL all the way.
Yeah, so NRL is rugby league. And there's also rugby union, which you may have heard of as well. So with mm-hmm. British roots, a lot of our sport has British
roots. If you've
roots.
Been a listener at all in the past handful of, you know, I think the last, 2 years, 3 years you've been doing this, for sure, this has been brought up.
Yeah, so AFL, I think out of all the codes we have here, AFL as a spectator is actually a really fun sport to watch because there's lots of kicking and running and stuff like that happening. So it's very big in Victoria, South Australia, Western Australia. And I like AFL. That was the first, when I was at primary school, I'll tell you a story, where AFL was being introduced into the schools in Sydney. And as a girl, I was allowed to play and I liked playing touch footy, but it was mainly a boys thing. So being able to do sport that was AFL at school was pretty cool.
That is awesome. That is so cool. I think that's so cool.
Yeah, I don't know if America is doing this, but Australia has introduced women's leagues for multiple football codes. There was, there's now a women's state of origin, like with the NRL, and there's a W League in the AFL as well. So I don't know if that's like trending globally, but they're different to the men's leagues, like they're shorter and there's less teams, but there's new leagues popping up.
When you say football, do you mean what we call soccer? Or do you mean?
No, we call soccer soccer.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know. I know in England.
American Gridiron Football, there are women's leagues, but they are not a part of the NFL or affiliated with the NFL. So they're often like minor leagues or just, you know, those little tiny, I don't even know if you could consider it a minor league.
I mean,
no one pays attention to them ever.
It's powder puff, basically, right?
Well, it's
is it even more than that? No, all it's I know
full
is powder
on, it's full on tackle is with okay. pads, but no one I don't know any of the team names and I certainly don't know any of the league information. So
well,
I don't
it's Canada so. It's all hockey.
yeah. And so you said AFL and I thought of the American Labor Union. The American Federated Labor Union. that's what I
sounds
know.
Less fun.
Yeah. That's awesome. Let's go ahead and jump into what our listeners can continue to expect moving forward. So Elizabeth, do you want to take it over now and just start making this thing yours?
Sure. So a lot of this is exactly what you should expect because chatting with authors on topics and stories is exactly what we're going to be doing for sure. So that's not going to change. But we do want to add in for all of our guests that we have, we're going to do sort of a this and that kind of thing, just real fast. So on the spot, you have to choose and Jessica and Hannah, I think, are we limiting it to them or are we all doing it?
I think we want to get to know you guys as
okay,
well.
Okay, all right, we're going to go
these
around.
These are the voices our listeners will be hearing.
We're going to go around them all then. And we'll start though with Jessica. All right, so here we go, cats or dogs?
Dogs, definitely. Cats are snooty.
All right, Hannah?
Dogs as well. I think cats are mean and kind of annoying and they poop in places inside the house that I don't want to take care of. I'd rather take care of it outside and not have to deal with it.
Narelle, cats or dogs?
Oh, well, my cats. I do like dogs. I do. But my cat has not tried to photobomb this chat we're having, which is amazing because you know what cats are like. But my cat, she's half cat, half dog, half kangaroo. And I say that because she was actually, she was an abandoned cat that was found near Government House in Yarralumla. I live in Canberra, the national capital. So she was right near where the Governor General's residence is. And there's lots of kangaroos there. And occasionally she has some very interesting herd kangaroo mannerisms that she'll come out with. So I think when she was a kitten, she was hopping around and following them. So she's...
I want to meet this cat so bad. I don't even like cats, but this sounds like a cat like I could befriend.
Okay. Well, my daughter has been nagging me to do YouTube, so eventually I'll do YouTube and I'll get my cat involved and you can meet this crazy cat. She's adorable. She's a tortoise shell calico, with a little bit of tabby in her, but she's got a bit of Siamese, I think, too, so she's very intelligent, which
I just
want to
see a
fun.
Cat do kangaroo things.
Right?
It's just like
a kangaroo.
Cat. Because they're snooty. No, we have two cats and a dog, and the cats are my buddies, and they have not either tried to crash this, which is amazing. Elizabeth, how about you?
I'm dog. I'm trying to grab him. He's being shy. He's in here. Hold on.
Oh, what kind of dog? Oh, look at it.
My second brother.
Is that a Scottish Terrier?
Yes.
So like, I'm glad I'm your favorite.
Yes, he is my favorite. I do love cats, but everybody else in my family is allergic to them. So I'm quite happy with my baby. He's my favorite.
Oh, look at him.
He's my
What's
snuggle
his name?
Butt. This is Dobby. We're big, big Harry Potter fans. So he's Dobby. Good boy. So, all right. Next, this or that, caramel or strawberry?
Ooh, it depends on what the thing is, probably. But overall, I'd probably say caramel.
Okay, it's caramel.
No one in Australia, like, in America, that seems to be a thing. It's in Australia, there is only one way. No other way exists.
My answer is caramel also.
Caramel.
Yes.
Fine. And I'm with Jess all the way. It is caramel.
No.
Caramel.
A caramello koala. Can't call it a caramel.
That's a brand
koala.
Name, though. That's not like the name. Whatever. I'm not going to win. It's fine. Whatever.
Yeah, it's even better if it's salted caramel.
Yeah, caramel.
Yes. The cafe underneath my workplace has salted caramel Thursdays. And oh my crap, it's good.
Yum. Yeah.
All right, Elizabeth.
Caramel. Yeah.
Awesome. No one else says it caramel? Come on.
No, sorry.
I really
you
am
miss
alone
a letter
in this.
When you say caramel. There's
lonely,
like an extra
I'm so lonely. I have nobody. Okay, let's move on before I continue singing.
All right, so now we got to go romance trope because, you know, romance. All right, love triangle or second chance?
Second chance, definitely. Never been a love triangle person, really. And I like the history between them when it's second chance.
Hannah's conflicted.
I'm so conflicted. I don't. Here's the. I'm gonna love triangle. We're just gonna say love triangle. I do love a good, like, Sweet Home Alabama, like, probably one of my favorites.
That is the best love triangle I've ever seen done.
Yes. I think it depends on how well it's done and, like, how well the other one's done, but I'm just, yeah, we'll go love triangle.
What were the
Valerie.
Question again?
Love triangle or second chance?
Oh, I'll go second chance. I'm in the middle of writing one right now, and yeah, that's my favorite thing today.
Okay, but Ross and Rachel, second chance, too. okay, we're just going to move on. Narelle.
Okay, well, second chance, except if the love triangle is done really, really well. And I'm thinking Patricia Beale, A Season to Dance, and Brandy Bruce, and I'm thinking what was The Last Summer? They did love triangles really, really well. So if you can write it well, it'll hit my favorite book list, which is enormously long, as you already know. Yes. Usually second chances, unless it's exceptionally well written.
Okay.
Elizabeth.
I'm totally second chance because I despise even well-written love triangles. To me, any man willing to participate in a love triangle does not have the best interests of the woman at heart. And so he should be seeking her happiness. And if her happiness is not him, then he needs to bow out gracefully.
Can he do that in like chapter 5 or something?
I don't know. I don't love triangles. They make me angry.
I'll be sure to blame them.
They're a controversial topic.
They are.
I know. Episode.
I'm struggling with this right now.
They are hard.
I am having a hard time with that. I'm like, to have such strong feelings against a love triangle.
But like, think like Jacob and Edward, right? Jacob didn't care about Bella. He didn't care. He just wanted her because she was the shiny toy. And she was so in love with
that's
Bella.
That's not even close to a good example, though. Like, if you're going to argue against a good love triangle, then let's talk about Sweet Home Alabama here.
See, I hate that movie. that is like the only Reese Witherspoon movie that I do not like. Really?
I think it's the greatest rom-com ever made.
I love Sweet Home Alabama.
I love Reese Witherspoon. I can quote almost all of her movies. I've seen that one twice because I had to give it a second try, but I couldn't. I just don't. I'm like, sorry, Reese, you messed that one up. That one was a bad choice. Not a fan.
There's your unpopular opinion of 2020.
Right? Yeah, I am. I'm probably gonna be the queen of unpopular opinions on this podcast.
Look, we need one. We need one in the podcast. We need some drama. And
that
was the grenade in the room.
that's me. Sorry. I did like. See, here's a love triangle I liked while you were sleeping. because he was in a coma most of the time and didn't even know. Hannah's like, never talk to her again. Big X over that name. Just that's okay.
I appreciate the fact that I love it. I appreciate the fact that you love it. I'm just still like trying to wrap my head around the idea that you don't like a good love triangle. And that's just, I'm not computing. So we're going to have to move on.
Okay.
All right. I don't like the trope that much either, but it's usually because either one of the guys is a tool, or if like in Sweet Home Alabama, he's a good guy. Yeah. Sweet Home Alabama was good because you felt like Patrick Dempsey would be okay at the end. You felt
either
sorry for
one.
Him.
Either totally one would have been it.
Yeah. But usually, like, if they're both good guys, like in Sweet Home Alabama, you're often too sad for one of them. Like, it's a bit too bittersweet for me. And just so often, I see it so rarely where it is like Sweet Home Alabama and they're both good. Usually, I think one of them's an idiot. And then that frustrates me and it makes me like the heroine less because, like, why is she torn? Why does she like him?
Right, why are you
however, I have to say...
Yeah.
One of my favorite book series is the Stephanie Plum series with Janet Ivanovich. And the reason why it's been able to last 27 books is because of Ranger and Morelli. Yes. And I've even swapped sides. I started out so stringently Team Morelli. And somewhere around book like 20, I changed alliances to Ranger. And now I love Ranger so much.
Oh my goodness.
And didn't you just love that last chapter where you never quite knew which man was in the room and you spent 12 months trying to work out who it is?
One in book six. And you're like, which one is it? But I read them like all in one year. And so I just like raced to the library and got the next. I probably even had it stacked on my bedside table ready. And so I just like grabbed it and ripped it open and was like, which guy was it? But then that still doesn't tell you.
I think part of the reason why I love Love Triangle so much too is that they're so fun to talk about. Like, I mean, you mentioned Bella and the Twilight. We're just not, I'm not even going to mention Twilight.
That is what I think of when people say Love Triangle.
But I, if you're even thinking about the Hunger Games series, it's like either one would have been so great. You were torn on which one. There was such strong opposition for either one.
It was hot all the time. It was Team Tina from day one. Because Dustin was a doofus.
When I saw the movie first, I was not on board with Peter. But when I read the book... Then I was like, oh, the movie was a little different to the book. When you read the book version, then it was like Peter all the way.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there is a logical reason for why Elizabeth doesn't like love triangles. Uh-oh. I learned this years ago from quite a well-known Australian romance author who was teaching a class. And what happens when you read a book, a romance, is that the reader, the female reader, will bond with the first eligible male to hit the page. Right, and that's probably how you're conditioned to read a romance. So when you have two eligible males hit the page, the reader gets confused, angry, whatever, if it's not obvious, like in While You Were Sleeping, as to who actually should be the right guy. So there's actually a reason behind that, and that's why I think it's so hard to pull off.
Yeah. And Sweet Home Alabama, you see Jake first. And that's why I heard a lot of interviews about the recent adaptation of Little Women, because there was such an angry, you know, people have been cheering for Joe and Laurie for so long and didn't really love the professor and stuff with the book. And so when Greta Gerwig went to write the adaptation, that's why it skips through time and you see Joe and the professor together first, and then it goes back in time and you see Amy and Laurie together first, and then it goes back in time because that bonds you to those couples, and then you're happy to go back and see Joe and Laurie's friendship but still be satisfied that they didn't end up together, they actually found their real soulmates, which were other people. That's why.
And
I can appreciate that argument. That could be. I think that there is something substantial to that argument there. I mean, I honestly, when I watched Friends, I'd started in high school when Joey and Rachel were a thing. And so for a long time, I was just pro Joey. And then you watch it from the beginning, you're like, okay, Ross.
It's literally the first Ross had his own scene. Issues, it is Ross. Like Ross says, I wish I was married. And Rachel runs in a wedding dress.
Yep. Okay.
All right. So
I can agree with that.
Last one. Let's do.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about the game.
That's okay. Billionaires or cowboys?
Ooh. I've never read a huge amount of either because neither I don't even know what you call it, character type, archetype, I don't know, has ever super appealed to me. Okay. But I would probably pick cowboys, I guess. Mary Keneally's got some good cowboy stuff. She has some funny ones. So I'll go with cowboys for her sake. Unless the billionaire is Tony Stark, then.
Right. Right. Yeah. Tony Stark portrayed by Robert Downey Jr.
Yes. I mean,
oh yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Only the Robert Downey Jr. version. Of Tony
Stark. That's something they can never remake.
Though. Never. Yeah.
I don't know. Here's why. I think the first thought in my head is billionaires tend to be a little just, it's so hard to imagine like a lifestyle with a billionaire that I could feel comfortable in. Like I just need a down home at earth guy, but I also don't really love the cowboy thing either. That's just not me. I need a just like a guy in the metro area. I don't know. But I think if I could choose a billionaire, as long as he had a good heart and used his money in good ways, I would be much more for that. But I still just don't think I could see myself as a cowboy unless it's like a young John Wayne.
All right. Not Clint Eastwood, John Wayne.
Well, I grew up with John Wayne.
Okay.
So right. my dad's a huge John Wayne fan, so I've watched so many of his movies. And I like his personality, just gruff and...
So he's sort of a young John Wayne there.
We know what Valerie's answer is going
to
be.
Yeah, we know Valerie's answer is cowboy.
That doesn't appeal to me at all. I don't know. I would have to say billionaire. He has a good heart.
Yeah.
Plus, that means I could go on really cool vacations. So.
Right. Right.
All right. Moving on, Valerie. We know what your answer is going to be now.
All about the cowboys. I do actually have quite a hard time with people who hoard money. So billionaires are not an instant love for me. And I've lived on a farm most of my life, which isn't nearly as romantic as a ranch, but whatever.
In America, is the distinction between a farm and a ranch cropping or stock? Because in Australia, they're all farms.
Yeah.
Sort of, yes.
Not really.
And I'm in Canada, so, but I write in the US. I think with a ranch, you have more cows. With a farm, you may have a variety of animals, and then of course it's all about the horse. You have to ride horses, and a lot of farms won't even have a horse.
I think that's the distinction for me. The ranch to me, and maybe this is my distinctions, Jess and I have talked about this before. Her dad owns a farm, my grandpa owned a farm. But my grandpa was a dairy farmer, so he had tons of cows. But I think if I would consider a ranch, it would be lots of land with cows specifically being raised for beef. I don't even know if that's an accurate depiction. That's what I culturally think of.
That's my mental picture too. My grandfather had a farm also, but he raised fruits and almonds. He had almond trees. I mean, it was an almond farm. It was not... was not a ranch.
That's not a ranch.
You didn't need cowboys for that. You needed day laborers.
So the deal is that with a farmer, our mental picture is a guy in overalls and rubber boots and a straw hat, and he's chewing on a piece of straw. Yes. And honestly, it's not that hot looking. Right?
That's true. It's funny though, because my grandpa wore like rancher clothing. He had the cowboy hat, the buckles, the boots.
But this is the general depiction.
The generalization. And
with the cowboy, you've got the jeans and the boots and the hat. And it pulls a more romantic vibe, like just straight up.
However, I think the word ranch definitely sounds cooler than farm. Like it gives a cooler connotation. So
farm is old McDonald had
a.
Yeah, exactly. However, and I don't read a lot of billionaires, but if Elizabeth Madry writes them, then I like them. So
yay!
And if Elizabeth Madry writes cowboys, they're not cowboys.
They're not. My one try at cowboys.
How is he not a cowboy?
They're on a ranch, but they didn't have any animals. And it turned out that the hero for the first book that was supposed to be this cowboy series was a software engineer who came to the ranch.
Way down the other end of the spectrum. Holy cow!
Right, yeah, no, the ranch has like a camp for youth in the summer. It's just, I mean, it's a great series, but it's not cowboys.
It is a great series.
I can't do cowboys. I tried so hard. I rewrote that book like 4 times trying to make it cowboys, and finally I gave up. I'm like, it's not gonna be cowboys, so I can't do cowboys.
That was the end of that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now I want to hear Narelle's Elizabeth. Opinion because I also want to think
about we got like, Narelle too.
Yep, Narelle.
Australian versus American cowboy sort of stereotypes.
Well, we don't have cowboys, but we have cattlemen.
That's why I wanted to raise like we don't really like have you know a jackaroo is the closest thing.
Yeah. So I mean, if you go back and look at the Mills and Boone romances, like from generations past, cattleman in the outback was pretty much what you're looking at as your equivalent. When I think of cowboys, I think of Montana, Colorado, and Texas, because that's probably where a lot of like the love-inspired westerns are set. And I do think of cattle. I also think of smelly farms, only because my daughter cannot stand the smell of barnyard animals in any way, shape, or form. So it just made it fun for some.
Back to Narelle's topic, I do want to say the Australian version of cowboy, like a good one to think of is the Drover, Hugh Jackman as the Drover in the movie Australia. I think I even referenced
That was such a good movie.
I think of The Man from Snowy River.
Yes.
I mean,
I love that movie.
That's my grandmother grew up making me watch that whenever she could.
Yes.
But that's like, if I think Australia cowboy, that's where my mind goes immediately.
My dad and my uncles all grew up thinking they were The Man from Snowy River, basically.
Really? My first series that I published with Harlequin, with the Heartsong Presents line, was set around the Snowy Mountains. So that's a movie that I'll always go back to. One of my favorites from when I was younger. Awesome. But anyway, back to cowboys. So if I had to choose between cowboys and billionaires, it's like when you read Regency romance and everyone's a duke. There can only be so many billionaires in the world. So for me, I find it really hard if I see a long series of billionaires for that to actually be plausible as well. I'm thinking if all these people are really rich, there must be a whole stack of people that are really poor somewhere as well. So I think I sort of harken back to what Valerie was talking about as well. So how many billionaires can there really be? So if I had a choice, I would probably choose cowboys, because the whole sort of genre and the whole sort of trope around cowboys is just more realistic. Like I can put my head into that and sort of really enjoy those types of books. Whereas billionaire books, millionaires, I don't mind. Billionaires are probably maybe a step too far from reality for me. Although, mind you, I do enjoy royalty and princess stories as well, but not all the time.
I just think it offers, I mean, I think the one pro to a billionaire is that it offers, like, I think that's the reason why so many people love watching The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, is because you get to go off on these like really crazy grand adventures as a date that like no one would ever do in real life. I think that that's so fun. So you get that like a little bit of fantasy, like, oh, this is what it must be like to have a ton of money and do all these crazy things, like go to the moon for a date. I think that should be in a book somewhere. I want to read about that.
See, that's why I don't like it, because I'm like, oh, if you took away all their money, like, would she still like him? I think the only way I could really get behind it is if in the book he like lost everything at least for a while, or you didn't know he was the billionaire, or like I would have to know that.
Who was the guy in Friends, and I'm gonna forget his name,
Pete,
that Monica
really
dated
about him the other day, because he's Jon Favreau and he created the Mandalorian, and all my workmates are obsessed with the Mandalorian.
I loved his character, because it's just like, I'm just going to go to Paris for a date with you. It just like was the coolest thing.
He was fun.
And he was a great guy. She just didn't have an interest in him.
Because she got to know him as a normal guy at the diner before she realized he was rich.
That's true. So I think maybe that's the key. Yep. You gotta know before you go. All right. There's our answers. I feel like,
Excellent. And I think that probably is enough. I'm team billionaire, by the way, but
yes,
most
tell us why.
Because cowboys, see, to me, I have the same problem people have with billionaires. Like, I know there aren't that many billionaires in the world. There are also not that many cowboys in the world. yes. Like, you don't need
them.
Like, if you have millions of acres, you don't, you know, there's not enough ranch land available for there to be this many cowboys, unless you've got a cowboy on 2 acres, in which case, you know, fine.
Not a cowboy.
Yeah.
I would venture to guess that there are more cowboys in the world than billionaires.
Sure. Yes.
But no, I get your point. Yeah.
Yeah.
But they're not all young
cowboy billionaires. I feel like that's really pushing it. But
they don't all look like Scott Eastwood.
But I just I don't know. I see you mentioned John Wayne as like a good thing, and I think of John Wayne and I'm like, he's slow and ponderous, and it's like, let's go.
let's go. Let's
just move on. Say what you need to say, and let's move on, partner. Tip your hat. And, you know, I don't have time for cowboys. They're slow and ponderous, and they have to go check the fence. And I'm like, great, I'm on my jet.
Bye. Thank you. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
That's well, awesome. Why don't you tell us how you really feel? And you tell me you like my books.
Oh, well, I do like Valerie's Cowboys. That is, I will say, hers are the ones that I do enjoy. I've tried a couple others, and they're not my thing. So, but Valerie's are good.
Ew.
So I think you probably hit enough of our this and that. Do you think?
It revealed some very interesting things. It was great trope discussion.
Oh, so good.
Yeah.
Well, I think, did we have anything else planned for this episode?
I don't think so. I think that was
it. I think we just need to know people can find Story Chats in the future. Where's the social media going to live? How do people get on board with this with you guys?
So basically all the same places it's been before. We just sort of, Jessica sent us all the passwords and we snuck in and so we're not.
So if you're already following us, don't worry. You don't need to follow them. You already are.
Yeah,
you should be. Yeah. It should be where you already are. We are on YouTube, which is, I believe it's Story Chats there. Story Chats at Inspi Romance. It would have been really smart of me to like write all these things down and I could have read it to you. So what I'll probably do is when I'm going through and making this a final version, I'll like make a little meme or something and stick it up here with all the addresses for you to find them. But we're going to be using Podbean. So still, I think it's still storynerds.podbean.com. Mm-hmm. We haven't changed that. It might be changing to Story Chats because I believe I can change it. I just need to evaluate the repercussions there. we're still on Facebook. You can also, if you go to inspiromance.com, there's a podcast link on the menu bar. So you can find us there. And so anywhere you want to listen to a podcast or if you want to watch us on YouTube, and that's where we are. And look for a graphic that has more explicit instructions than my random
Well, before we go, I just want to take a minute, and I don't know if Jess wants to do the same, but I just wanted to say thank you to our listeners. Over the last 3 years since Jess convinced me to do this, I was quite reluctant at first, and you know, I just thought, oh yeah, it'll be kind of fun, and it's turned into something that I had a really hard time letting go. Jess and I had a conversation at the beginning of this year, kind of towards the beginning of the pandemic, and just realizing that, you know, she had a lot on her plate, and I knew I had a lot on my plate, but I was just like, I know I'm not ready to let it go. And I cried, like literally, Jess will tell you, I cried when we had that conversation, just like, I'm not ready yet. And it's been such a joy for so many different reasons. I've loved getting to hear from our listeners. It's fun because I will get a random note on Facebook, or I'll hear from somebody separately who just said, I love listening to you girls. You're so fun. I think that was what I got the most. You're so fun. You're so cool. I'm like, I guess I am fun. Cool. I guess I'll take it. But it's been fun hearing from the listeners. It's been really fun getting to know other authors too. That's probably, like we talked about at the beginning, one of my favorite things about doing this podcast is just getting to talk to people who you never would have met otherwise. And so getting to talk to people, Melissa Tagg, who's one of my favorites, and Beth and Rachel, and I'm trying to come up with, I know I'm missing, Robin. The names are endless. We've talked to a good handful of authors, and it's just been really cool. Bethany, of course, and Melissa, and there's an endless amount of names, and I'm totally sorry because I'm not going to remember them all, but each one has just been so much fun, and I've truly loved it, and I'm sad to give this baby up. But I'm also really grateful it seems to be landing in hands that I just completely am excited to hear what you guys do with it. So, Jess, did you have anything else you wanted to say?
Yes, I want to say a big thank you to all our listeners over the last 3 years and all our guests. Definitely my favorite thing about the podcast, and there's been so much of it to enjoy, but the best thing has been the friendships that it's allowed us to develop. Me and Hannah, I appreciate the last 3 years so much. Yeah. It's been amazing.
It's been so good.
I mean, we've only been in the same half of the world twice in the last 3 years. Mm-hmm. We met at an ACFW conference pretty well 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we had one visit in the last 3 years. And this podcast has been like, I mean, our friendship would have continued, but the podcast has been so amazing.
Yeah.
As a way to like keep connecting us on a regular basis. And I'm sure we're going to keep connecting now, especially that we've got our Market Polar chat rocking. Like,
oh, I know,
we're going to be on there constantly.
But, I feel like it's so true. We would have been friends anyway, but this podcast really helped. I think that it's fun because mm-hmm. if you go back and listen, I think it's evident to know that we were friends right off the bat, but I couldn't imagine being as close of friends to you without the podcast. And so, mm-hmm. but it's just incredible to know that the entirety of our friendship, we've only seen each other twice. Mm-hmm. And it's really fun to see how that's grown. So thanks, Jess.
It's been amazing. And the friendships it's let us develop with our guests as well. Mm-hmm. We've had so many amazing guests and people that, you know, we never could have dreamed of being like friends with and getting to interview and stuff. It's been so much fun. Just getting to know so many different people in the book world, and that's such a special thing about the podcast. So I look forward to continuing all those friendships, hearing new ones continue and start in the future on the podcast, everyone continuing to nerd out about fiction together. And we'll be back, we'll be popping back in, we'll be around the community, and looking forward to the future. And so I want to say a big thank you to you guys. I'm so glad, like, you know, as Hannah and I talked about the future and, you know, what we really sort of started to realize we're going to need to do. It was so sad to think that, you know, the last 3 years that if no one picked it up and continued it, then it would just kind of fade off and that would be the end of it. And I'm mm-hmm. so, so glad yeah. that the fun is going to continue. The listeners will get to keep connecting with authors. They will get to keep hearing an awesome friendship playing out in the podcast mm-hmm. with them. I think that's one of my favorite things about podcasts that I listen to as well. Sometimes I'm only half interested in the topic they're talking about, but I just like the hosts and their evident friendship. And I'm so glad that vibe's going to continue with you yeah. guys. So thank you for taking it on and keeping the spirit of nerding out and chatting about stories, keeping that going.
Yeah, you three are going to have so much fun, and I can't wait to see what you guys come up with, and I'm excited.
It's been great meeting the two of you, and we're really honored to be able to take this on, and thank you so much.
Aww.
Yes, no, thank you. And it's great that all the material you have is going to be archived, and people can go back and see where we come from, and you'll have to come back and visit us.
Yes.
And we can chat again.
Let us know when you need another co-host or somebody to talk to. We're here.
Absolutely. Yeah, that would be fun.
All right. Well, it is that time. I am going to close us off as story nerds one final time. This is Hannah signing off. Jess.
Bye-bye, everybody. Enjoy your nerding out and get ready for more fun story chats in the future. Bye-bye.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, everybody. Elizabeth Madry popping in real fast just to let you know the best way to find us. Go to inspyromance.com/storychats. That's inspyromance.com/storychats. We'll have links to everywhere else you might want to join us right there on that page. Thanks, guys. See you later.